Welcome to Celebrating Whole Health, a program focusing on remembering, reinvigorating, and creating a renaissance of relationship-centered whole person healthcare. Each week, we profile the work of a nurse dedicated to providing compassionate, patient-centered care. I'm your host, Georgiana Donadio, director of the New England School of Whole Health Education in Boston.
Today, my guest is Maureen Spencer, who is a certified nurse specialist in the area of infection control and epidemiology. She has 24 years of experience in hospital experience as director and coordinator of infection control. 11 of those years were spent at the Massachusetts General Hospital, where she started the ongoing Mind-Body Holistic Medicine Group. Maureen is currently the director of infection control at the New England Baptist Hospital. Welcome again, Maureen. We are thrilled. This is your second visit with us. The first time was dazzling, and we wanted you to come back to speak some more about the incredible work that you are doing, not only in the hospital, which is incredible work, but the work that you're doing with your center, which is just a remarkable place. And would you start off by hospital? Welcome again, Maureen. We are thrilled. This is your second visit with us. The first time was dazzling, and we wanted you to come back to speak some more about the incredible work that you are doing, not only in the hospital, which is incredible work, but the work that you're doing with your center, which is just a remarkable place. And would you start off by just bringing everybody up to speed about your center and how you got from Massachusetts General Hospital, where you were for 11 years, to having this wonderful center of yours, finding inner peace?
Well, great. It's great to be back on again. Thank you. And happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. It's my birthday, everybody, just to let you know.
Anyway, yeah, it's been an interesting journey. I did infection control right out of nursing school in the early 70s and went through a couple of hospitals and ended up at Mass General in 85. And in 1990, was introduced to mind-body concepts at a big national conference and asked the hospital if they'd be interested in starting a support group for healthcare workers to learn about complementary therapies, because we were pretty much in the dark about it. And that's how I started the Mind-Body Medicine Group there in 1993. And in 1996, when the hospital merged with the Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, unfortunately, the nurse managers, our jobs were middle management jobs that got eliminated in the corporate downsizing, and so I was basically laid off. And at that point, after a 23-year career in infection control and being so specialized, it was really impossible for me to go back to nursing, because I'd really never done floor nursing or any other kind of nursing. So I just looked at another very keen interest of mine and expertise I had, which was teaching yoga. I've been teaching yoga since I was 17 years old. Just something I did on the side, like people play tennis or do golf. And I just decided that that was what I wanted to do, to open up a holistic center, not a clinic, but a center where people could come and do yoga for the physical body and meditate for the mind and have energy work, subtle energy work for the spirit. And that's the simple concept. I've had the center since April of 97. And we're very busy, and we certify yoga teachers, Reiki practitioners, aromatherapists, sound healers. We use sound tables, tuning forks. So I call it vibrational medicine, the things that we do, that we vibrate our matter, our body, and we put it into its correct resonance. So I think we're going to be talking about sound today and how frequency medicine heals the body and the spirit. So that's my little journey to where I got to today, and I'm actually back in infection control, as you mentioned. I took a position recently to come back into healthcare doing infection control, and absolutely love the combination of the two fields. In the evening, I teach yoga, and on the weekends, I see clients, and Monday through Friday, I chase bugs around.
Well, isn't it wonderful? One of the things that we so enjoy sharing with the nurses who are listening is that you really can have these two worlds. So you function both traditional medical environment as well as holistic realm, and well-informed and just how really brilliant, I know I'm embarrassing you, but how really brilliant you are regarding the whole gestalt or integration of yoga and the body and actually how that is connected to many of the traditional things, such as even the microbes and the bacteria and the infection control, and how, you know, that this is one big metaphor for the global oneness. But there was another topic that we were just hungry to hear about from you that is so fascinating. You're also involved in vibroacoustics, and would love to speak with you, you know, have you speak to that, if you would be good enough to
do
so.
Well, first I'll let you know how I got introduced to it. Back in 1993, I was first introduced to Reiki, which is the laying of the hands. The word means ray of light, and it's from Japan, but it was based on old, you know, Christian and Tibetan principles of how the great masters healed with their hands. And my younger sister got cancer, and a month later she was diagnosed, and I did Reiki on her, and I saw firsthand how those vibrations that came out of my hands affected her matter, her body, and that she was lived 2.5 years beyond her diagnosis. In 1996, after I was laid off, I sort of took a year off to kind of find myself and figure out what was I going to do. And somebody told me about this unit that was down in Cape Cod called a Dreamweaver. And you can actually look on a website, dreamweaving.com. And he's got wonderful articles, the inventor of this unit, Benedict Howard, and you can learn a lot from his articles on various aspects of vibroacoustics. So I was curious about everything at that point, trying anything that came along, you know, Native American acupuncture, Chinese medicine, so forth. And I went into this unit and first came into the room and saw the bed. It's a mat, actually, his was. And you lied on this mat, and there was this very big platonic solid colored dodecahedron around the bed, 6 foot wide and 4 foot high, of copper pipes that are in the shape of 12 pentagons. They look like, you know, five-pointed stars, but connected, 12 of them together, and like a soccer ball. And I got into it, and I lie down, and they started the music. And at one point, a note, a particular note, hit me in my heart, and I just burst into tears and cried and cried and cried. I felt like somebody had unplugged a lifetime of just sadness and rejection and everything, the control, the perfectionism, the fear, the anger, everything I've been holding on to all those years. And it just in that moment just expanded and just moved off my system. And I got out of there so different, and I couldn't explain it. It was just such an experiential thing that how the heck could that anybody have gotten through my ego? Because my ego kept it all very nicely packaged, so that I kept everything in control, that nobody was ever going to get me to cry or let me to let go. Even after being laid off, I kind of just pretended ego, oh, I'm okay, I'm just going to go open my yoga center. And it just was so transformative that I promised myself that if I ever did open a center, I would purchase one of these units. And they're pretty expensive. They were like $3,600. So I said, I'll come up with that money somehow, because if that did that to me, I can imagine what it will do to other people. And I did. The day I opened my center, in April 14th, 1997, that unit arrived. I had ordered it. I trained with the inventor, Benedict, and the Dreamweaver came, and we started to work. Now, the first year, what happened is I worked in it with other people while they were getting the benefit of expansion of their energy field, their meridians and chakras and breath and so forth. I was getting affected by it. So my body was also going through this metamorphosis of releasing all these things that happened to me through my life and probably past lifetimes. And I then went on to have that as my full-time practice, seeing close to 30 to 35 people a week, and also teaching yoga classes, 9 to 10 yoga classes a week. And what happened, a year into it, I got sick. My body could not handle the vibrations, because I was just, you know, really doing too much, again, running around like a type A personality, control and perfectionism, and thinking that, you know, I didn't need any rest, I didn't need any care. And I developed some physical symptoms that were indicative of that. So I it was a big wake-up call to me. I stopped, and I cut all my practice in half and my classes in half. And then I really started my own personal journey of healing with a shaman, Inca Peruvian shaman, who I learned 2 years into my work with him on a weekly basis for 2 years, shamanic work, spirit releasement, and soul retrieval, that his family was the family that donated the Bigelow building at Mass General Hospital. His name is Cleveland Bigelow, but he was the Bigelow family that has a building at Mass General. I thought, isn't that interesting what comes full circle? you know, that he's there helping me heal. And I now still work with it, but I've designed my own unit now. I have a sound table. It's much sturdier. It handles heavier bodies. It's the platform is mahogany wood that's been stretched with 7 speakers mounted under the table. I have a person down in Florida who hand makes these for my students. I've sold 14 of these. And then we get the dodecahedrons from a company out in Colorado. So we train what are called cimatron facilitators. And the word cimatron came from the work of Hans Jenny in cymatics, C-Y-M-A-T-I-C. And that is a field of research in showing how various sound tones can affect different mediums, liquid mediums, plastic. He studied, he took a diaphragm and stretched it and put on top of it water, or he'd put powder, or he would put plastic, or he would put turpentine, and he would then send a tone into it, and he videotaped this and showed you how the water or the medium started to move, and that it would go into these sacred geometric structures. It would start to actually go into circles, cubes, rectangles, pentagons, or triangles. Those are the 5 platonic solids. And you can look that up on the internet. There's a lot of information on sacred geometry and platonic solids. And if you just take a look in your room right now, anybody, you will see that, you know, your windows are cubes and your lights are circles, and that you may have something that looks like a rectangle, like a door. And everything is made up of these platonic solids. And we're third dimensional, so they're called tetrahedrons, hexahedrons, octahedron, dodecahedron, and icosahedron. The combination of these 5 platonic solids in a third dimensional way. So when you get into the cimatron, your body, which is third dimensional, starts to shift vibrationally with the music, with the pulsing of the music through the bed and through 2 speakers above you. And you come back into a sacred geometric relationship with God. It's your own personal temple when you're in this unit. And people can see this unit, what it looks like, on my website, findinginnerpeace.com. You can actually see a picture of it. It is so profound.
Maureen,
so amazing.
You know that there, I know that there are, and I've been one of those people in the past who would hear what you're talking about and say, oh, come on.
Right, right.
And I think what one of the things that we want to do, and I think it's important to do, is to, if we look at the basics of everything that we know about atomic molecules, of everything that we know about the designs that are kind of essential to the universe, the evolving designs, the vibratory, the molecular structure, the fact that we are all energy vibrating, we begin to understand, if we look at, we break down into simple units what we already know about energy, Einstein, what we already know, Stephen Hawking, what we already know from the, you know, the law of thermodynamics, the second law of thermodynamics. If we look at physics and we were to go over those elements, this would not be so strange once we heard it again, if you repeated that after we reviewed those texts. And today, what's going on contemporarily in physics, too, there's a wonderful book called Why God Won't Go Away. And it's written by scientists and physicists who are speaking to exactly the basis of what you're talking about, which is the vibrational, functional oneness of the resonance that exists between all living things. So, in a sense, what's happened, and when we come back, we're going to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about the resonance, because what you were describing with your experience was that this particular modality got past your ego by getting into your limbic system, by getting into your midbrain, by getting into your sensory motor acoustics, and cleansed or stimulated and caused a remembering and a discharging of many, many, many emotions that were in the unconscious mind. So that's not a mystery. We know how that happens. But let's talk about the applications of, you know, what is being done with this wonderful technology. You were sharing with me in a previous conversation about NASA doing research, and now there are these wonderful necklaces and these particular modalities and even food supplements that help us to really be present to these resonances in a way that we can become more one with our environment and more congruent and more harmonious. So we're going to take 2-minute break. When we come back, we want to hear all about, let's hear some stories. You've got some wonderful stories about people that have gone into this therapy and how it has affected them. So we're going to be right back, everybody. Don't go away.
Okay, okay. So what do you get when you cross a ballerina with an insomniac? It's someone who'll dance the night away. And that's what they're doing at a dance-a-thon put together by dancers and their community coalition to raise money for kids' after-school programs. All right, right. So what do you get when you cross a barber and a chef? A meal with all the trimmings. And that's what they're serving at a local youth center. Local merchants came together with their community coalition to make people's lives a little better. Now, what do you get when people bring their groups together? Healthier, happier, drug-free communities, especially for kids. So with your civic group, club, PTA, even your employer, contact your community coalition at helpyourcommunity.org or 877-KIDS-313. Because you get more when you get together. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
Mmm. There's only one thing more satisfying than sipping a half-calf extra whipped skim latte.
Mm, what's that, honey?
Turning our backs on kids.
Oh, you mean by not supporting after-school programs?
Oh, absolutely. Mm. Just because we don't have children of our own doesn't mean we can't dismiss the needs of kids in our community.
You know, our lack of concern helps make sure that 15 million kids have nowhere to go after school. They'll get no sports, no art projects, nothing.
Mm. And not caring is easy, too. You know, the other day I was in the SUV, mm-hmm. trading stock with one cell, booking our Italy trip with the other.
Right.
And all the while I was brushing aside kids' futures. Now, that's multitasking.
It is. I mean, what could be more convenient with our busy social calendar?
Hey, let's make a point to ignore kids while at yoga tonight.
Oh, honey, that's a great idea. Let's not call 1-866-KIDS today.
And not log on to afterschoolnow.org.
After-school programs. Ignore them and they'll go away.
Mmm, I'll drink to that.
A public service message brought to you by the After School Alliance, the Mott Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Celebrating Whole Health. This program focuses on celebrating and creating a renaissance of relationship-centered whole person health care. And I'm your host, Georgiana Donatio. I'm the director of the New England School of Whole Health Education here in Boston. And today it is my great pleasure to be speaking to, and it is our great pleasure to be listening to, Maureen Spencer, who is the current director of infection control at the New England Baptist Hospital. But Maureen has a remarkable background, both in yoga and in many of the more contemporary modalities that she has branched off into using with her private practice. She's discussing for us vibroacoustics, which is just a phenomenal area of study of energy and sound and vibration. And Maureen is going to continue to talk to us about all that she knows, which is vast, about this topic. Maureen, when we had spoken previously, you talked about NASA, and everybody's ears perk up when they hear that NASA has actually been doing research about all of these wonderful energetics. Could you share that with us?
Right. Well, first, I just got back from a cruise where I taught yoga and gave lectures on energy work, and I have to share this because one of the comments made by one of the speakers was that NASA means no answer simply answered or something like that. And I thought, you know, it's true. There's just so much that's out there that they see in the universe, and they see all these galaxies and they're spiraling counterclockwise or clockwise, and they move in certain patterns that it is probably hard for them to explain to us. You know, we all think they're keeping information from us, but NASA, first of all, one of the most well-known healers that has a wonderful book called Hands of Light is Barbara Brennan, who is a NASA physicist, and she left that field to become a full-time healer and has a school, I think it's in New Jersey, the Barbara Brennan School of Healing. And her book is wonderful because she kind of integrates a little bit just for the layperson to understand some basic principles of quantum physics to understand subtle energy. And then I'm working right now with a company in California called Circles of Life. You can look that up on the internet, circlesoflife.com, that Dr. Jones, Ronald Jones, who worked for NASA, and also he worked for the CIA doing remote viewing because he's a healer and can see from afar and actually can help them find various criminals and so forth. That's what the work he used to do. He developed a product line, which is an energy necklace and it's made of precious gemstones and minerals, and it holds a particular vibration that when you wear it, it actually harnesses energy in your body. And it's very powerful, increases balance and coordination. It protects you from cell phones and computers. It puts out an opposing frequency to protect you from the counterclockwise movement of energy through cell phones and computers. That is what I personally think is causing a lot of the recent emergence of health problems such as fibromyalgia, maybe even some of these cancers we're seeing, chronic fatigue syndrome. You're just hearing about a lot of, you know, multiple sclerosis, things that are kind of like, quote, you know, new epidemiology in our, since the last 10 years that we've had the internet and also with all the cell phones. But if you take a pendulum and put it over an electric device, there's two currents that come in and out of electricity. Just like our body, we have an efferent and afferent peripheral nervous system. And it's the same when you plug something in. You have, you know, electricity coming in, electricity going out, moving in and out. That when you're sitting in front of these computers all day or in cell phones, they're literally wiping out the energy field. And what these, if you wear these products and listen to certain music that puts the frequency in the environment, I have it on right now while I'm speaking, you know, that this puts a frequency out that protects me while I'm at work on a computer, or while I'm on a cell phone. And it also has an energy mix that you take that internalizes acidophilus with inulin wrapped around the organism, which is a crystalline structure to hold the frequency. So we're coming into an age in which you're going to be seeing a lot more sound sonics, you know, frequency medicine is some of the terms that we're hearing, vibrational medicine, energy medicine. Complementary therapies involve a lot of the aspects of what's called vibrational medicine. That's going to be implemented more and more into healthcare. There are two very good books, Vibrational Medicine by Dr. Richard Gerber, a physician, and Energy Medicine, The Scientific Basis by Dr. James Oshman, O-S-C-H-M-A-N. And those are the two books I recommend to healthcare professionals who want to start to open their minds to this whole area of vibrational medicine or energy medicine, to start to look at it. But I just am amazed at the results that I see with these products.
You know, this, again, this is not foreign to nurses particularly. When we think about nursing, nursing is a hands-on. Nursing, in a way, is very akin to the laying on of hands, which we know biblically, when we go back even before Jesus, we know that the laying on of hands, the touch, that there is electrostatic, electromagnetic relationship from one living organism to another. And I know that I know you're aware of this, and I'm sure the audience would love to read more about this, but many years ago, back in the late 90s, there was a lot of research that was done about coma patients. And what they were doing with coma patients was having people that loved them, and even some people who were just their medical attendees, coming in and holding their hand. And they were regulating the normal vital signs. And they saw, and I know that you can speak to this so well, Maureen, they saw that the vital signs were stabilizing from just being touched while in very deep coma. So, and now we've talked about that, so I'd love for you to speak to that in relationship to this business about us being energy, and whether we're conscious or unconscious, these energy fields, like, you know, the ultrasound that supposedly Russia was using on one of the embassy locations back in the 80s to cause sickness in American employees. Yep. Would you talk about what's going on in terms of prepare for surgery, in terms of dealing with coma, bringing people out of coma through touch and what have you?
Well, first, a couple of terms that might make it a little bit, bring it a little bit more into balance here. We talk about frequency. Frequency is hot per second. How many beats there are. So I always like to, you know, my students say, think of frequently. How frequently is it pulsing? How frequently is a beat of music per second? And we talk about those seconds as cycles per second, but we call it hertz, HZ, you will see it. So when we look at our own body, our brain waves are pulsing at 13 to 15 hertz, cycles per second. That's consciousness. Now, delta waves are 0 to 3 cycles per second. As you said, somebody in a coma is down the closest to God. Prior to death, they slip out, the brain waves then completely stop. But we're nothing but a brain wave. We're waves and particles. Things are pulsing. We have a vibration that comes from above. We call it the heavens or from out the galaxies, and we have it from below, which is Mother Earth. And we have these two forces that move in and out of us, and they basically are the reason we live and we pulse and we move spirit, your breath, in and out. And so that's what we mean by vibrational medicine, that if the body is in an organized pattern, the closest it can get to the sacred geometry of this pulsation of frequency, we just have much more what's called negative entropy. We're more organized resonance, so we have a sympathetic resonance with the earth. So when a family member sits down with love and holds a patient's hand, there's two things that go on. The patient's down at delta waves. They're at a very quiet, like a baby. A baby is in delta waves for the first 6 months of life. That's why they sleep all the time. They're the closest living being, except for a person in coma or somebody starting to pass, to God. And you hold them and you kind of feel like you're going to fall asleep with them. And that's why, that they will start to pull you down in a sympathetic resonance. That's what healers do. We place our hands on people, and through the years of our meditation practices and knowing how to stop our brain waves, so I go from beta to alpha to theta to delta, and that's transcendental meditation, transcending, ending the trance, getting out of your mind, your ego, and coming down into this quiet, thoughtless, there's no thoughts coming in, it's just a place, and it's hard to explain because there's nothing to explain, it's just a feeling, a being, nowhere, there's nothing to know, you're just with God, and that's what happens, is that we're able to then bring that person that we're working with back into their relationship to themselves and to God, that they get into what's called negative entropy. So that's the field of, I mean, the easiest way I can explain why it is so profound, why you see such healing that takes place when you do that with people. They'll get down into those levels where there's just this tremendous healing that will take place. The immune system can work better. There's not a lot of thoughts coming in that are having them go off and have to worry about something. I'll give you an example. Last night I was at Mass General Hospital seeing a nurse, 70 years old, who over the weekend got the flu, and she took some Tylenol, and she is in complete liver failure, probably going to pass today. And I was there with her family last night at 11 o'clock at night, and basically showing them how she's basically out of body. None of her chakras were spinning. She was counterclockwise. And she was in such a complete state of just pure God. I mean, she's just not much going on with her mind. Well, they decided to take her off sedation to see what would happen, to see if there's any functioning, you know, of her brain and so forth, to evaluate her. She went into this complete reaction, high blood pressure, got very, very agitated, almost maybe coming back realizing what was going on with her, that they had to sedate her again and bring her back down again. And so she's now in these very, very quiet brain waves, and it looks unlikely she'd need a liver transplant, but she's just, I mean, imagine that. That's how fast her liver just shut down after that. And we don't know how much, you know, Tylenol she was taking for this flu, but it's becoming a bit of a problem, I think, that a lot of people don't realize the heavy doses they take of extra strength Tylenol and so forth. But my job is, you know, I see as I'm called in by these families, is just to help them be there. I'm not trying to cure her. I'm trying to heal her. And part of that healing might be to help her pass on with no pain. And so that's what the healings are about. She didn't have any pain. She was very, very peaceful. I tried to explain to the family, she's going into this beautiful void of loving light. And we're the ones who suffer because we attach.
Right. I think it's difficult, though.
Oh, it's so difficult.
Why is it difficult to talk about death? I think it's so difficult because, first of all, no matter what anyone believes or no matter what anyone presents, to date, we do not know, nor have tasted,
right,
nor smelled, nor touched what death is. And it's only reasonable and I think human for us to, part of our mystery, our experience as human beings, is to ask the three questions of Joseph Campbell. Why am I here?
Right.
What's the purpose of my life? And where do I go when I die?
Yep.
And to date, we don't know where we go when
That's
we die.
Right.
I mean, we can think we know where we go when we die.
We can say it's energy, about eternal life. But
we really don't know where we go when we die. But you're talking about, I mean, apart from their very appropriate, and anyone's very appropriate anxiety or concern or response to death, is that what I hear you saying is that by being present in a way to be an energy field, really. It sounds
right.
like, you know, you're functioning as an energy field, an energy force, which I believe is what healing touch and Reiki and all these other wonderful modalities are doing, yes?
Yes.
Is that you're being present
yes.
as an energy force, and this is a wonderful concept, but when we come back, we're going to take another break. Would love for you to talk to from an intentionality perspective, because we know that we create what we intend. And from an intentionality perspective, how does one prepare oneself? There are nurses out there listening. They're doing Reiki. They're doing healing touch. They're doing hands-on touch for health and all these wonderful modalities. Help us to understand more deeply the relationship between intentionality and energetics. So we're going to take a two-minute break. Don't anybody go away. We'll be back with more of Maureen Spencer.
I'm Selma, and I'll be your server this evening. The special is pasta primavera, and it comes with a salad. Oh, and by the way, I abuse my children. Lots of times I beat them for even the smallest reason. When they really get on my nerves, I lock them in the closet for a few hours.
If only child abuse were this easy to recognize, perhaps then more people would report it. If you even suspect abuse, call Child Help USA at 1-800-4-A-CHILD. That's 1-800-422-4453. We've helped millions of people help millions of children. And we can help you. All calls are anonymous and confidential. So remember, 1-800-4-A-CHILD. That's 1-800-422-4453. Child Help USA. Trust your instincts. A public service message brought to you by Child Help USA and the Ad Council.
Hello?
Hello, Mrs. Stewart. I'm calling about your gas bill.
Oh, I know. I'm late. I'm working two jobs and doing everything I can. I mean...
Let's put a glass of water, Mommy.
Oh, I'll be there in a minute, Lisa.
Mrs. Stewart?
I'm really trying here. It's just that things are a little difficult right now.
Do you have our address, Mrs. Stewart?
Yes, I do.
Heat or food? One in five American children faces hunger because of decisions like this. To help, call 1-800-FEED-KIDS or visit feedingchildrenbetter.org. Hunger, a choice no one should have to make. A public service message brought to you by America's Second Harvest, Feeding Children Better, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Celebrating Whole Health. We are talking to Maureen Spencer, who is a remarkably interesting, well-informed, and I like to embarrass her by saying really brilliant nurse who is not only conversant and skilled in yoga practices and many alternative practices, but Maureen is currently involved with promoting and helping people to understand the use of vibroacoustics, which she has been involved with for some time. Before the break, we were talking about, Maureen, this is such, it's a very kind of beam me up, Scotty conversation,
yep.
you know?
Yep.
I mean, I'm sure there are nurses out there saying, oh my, you know,
right.
where are we going with this? And,
okay.
you know, we're talking about some of the deeper probing the universe with this, which is fabulous, and I'm so excited that you're here today and that you're sharing this with us. But let's see if we can, we always want to kind of bring it down a little bit to more practical applications, so if somebody's listening, they can walk away with a nugget or a tool or something of value. So for nurses who are out there who are interested and are doing energy healing, energy work, there is a congruence between intentionality and our thoughts, which are vibratory entities, which are biochemical neurotransmitter entities, and what passes through our nervous system, through our hands, into other people's and other entities' beings. Can you follow that path for us and explain to us what your understanding is of intentionality and how that becomes part of this energetic presence or energetic healing?
Well, there's two words that you have to compare, I think, intention to attention. When we give something attention, we just sort of like we say we're paying attention to something. We're looking at it. There's some energy going in that direction. But maybe there isn't as much as an intention. That's a whole different thought that I'm going to have an intent at this institution to have zero tolerance for infection. I've been saying this at committees. Let's work, have the intention to be zero tolerance. Let's really try to pull this team together. And when I do energy work, my intent is love. Love overpowers fear. That's all I say in my mind. That's the vibration I hold, that the power of love is a stronger vibration than fear. And I work from that intention. And so when you're doing the ray of light, when you're doing Reiki, you're sending an intention of bringing from, quote, the masters, the Reiki masters, this particular vibration that's pure loving light, universal life force, and that's going to come into the body, and that's going to put it into its right resonance. It's going to be in a right relationship, or what I said earlier, negative entropy. And one of the things I'm teaching my Reiki practitioners to start to, with thought goes, energy follows. Live your life always in the light. You will become the light. So you start to think of everything you do in your life to have an intention that love overpowers fear, that you're living from the light. And that means you have to look at whether you gossip, whether you lie, whether you steal people's time, whether you're violent to yourself or others with your word or action. There's just so much that then starts to come up when you establish an intent that says, wait a minute, you're not really meeting this intent, because higher self is the one that establishes the intent. The ego is the one that goes off and does all the third dimensional craziness that we call our personality and behaviors and ways in which we function. We have to have it, but the goal of having an intention is to establish yourself with the higher self. And with thought goes, energy follows, but what's so important is form follows thought. You will become the loving light if that's your intention. If you live your life always with that being the intent of every day when I wake up, I thank God that I have another day. I'm so blessed to have a body, a vehicle, a temple for my light that I am. When I watched my younger sister die with cancer and struggle for one more day, I never take one day for granted. And each moment to moment is a new year in my life. You know, different things I do, different places I go. When people say, don't you get tired doing all these things? I'm like, no, because I don't see it as yesterday or the future. It's the moment. Just live moment to moment. You have a lot of energy if you live in the moment. You waste your time when you go into the past, because where thought goes, energy follows. Now you've taken yourself into the past, and your past becomes the present. Or you run off into the future. You take your future worries and you bring them into the moment. Now you're in the future. You're not in the moment. So that's that whole concept of mindfulness and staying in the moment, you know, some real basic Buddhist principles. And also The Power of Now, a wonderful book by Eckhart Tolle. It's called The Power of Now. It's probably the best modern-day book, in my opinion, to explain and to understand that concept.
Well, it's interesting. That book has come up a couple of times in talking to nurses. And
great book.
It's a very interesting book. And for people who are looking for books, we've mentioned a few of them. So one of them is The Power of Now, but in terms of physics and what we're discussing, Why God Won't Go Away. And I want to put another plug in for that, because I think it is a wonderful opportunity for people to really get some answers, you know, to some of these very kind of esoteric things that we're talking about.
Exactly.
Now, Maureen, let's talk about, thank you so much for that explanation, and I wanted to just jump in there about the book, because we've heard about that book before, and I think that what you're talking about is so critical. I mean, isn't it amazing that we're always talking in circles when we get to this topic, because it ultimately always comes back to the intention. It ultimately always comes back to what we hold in our mind as how we're going to live our life, the values that we're going to live our life with. And you said something that was very important. We don't realize sometimes that we're doing things to other people, do we?
Right.
Sometimes we don't realize we're gossiping. What about gossip? I mean, isn't that incredible? You were talking about stealing people's time, wasting people's time, you know, stealing their energy, their resources, sucking. How many people are walking around kind of being energetic vampires, if you will?
There you go.
And why don't you talk to that? Because we've had this discussion before, and we're talking about putting out energy, but what about taking away energy from people?
Yeah, we have two ways in which energy moves, just like I mentioned with the nervous system, afferent and efferent. Well, we have a kundalini is the yoga model where we talk about Ida and Pingala. If you were in a Chinese model, you'd be talking about yin and yang. There are these two flows of energy that move in and out. Two things can happen. You can be a psychic sponge, and you can go into a sympathetic resonance with a patient or a client and take on their suffering. Bring it into your body, and you own it. They feel great. Vibrationally, you just came down to their vibration, you saw eye to eye with them, and you took it on. happens with couples all the time, married couples. They start to look like one another. They start to take on symptoms of one another, psychological states for one another. Anybody who's in a very close relationship with another person goes into sympathy. Empathy is a whole different vibration. I will empathize. I'm an empathic healer. I keep myself elevated at a higher vibrational level with techniques that I use. A lot of them are Kundalini breathing techniques, by the way, and conscious mind state techniques, to be able to bring the patient or client's vibrations up to a higher level, to move the energy out into the universe, to release them, to be able to you know, expand their matter. Now, the psychic vampires are people that either unconsciously or consciously know that they can come up, like Hitler was a conscious psychic vampire, or maybe, you know, Saddam Hussein, people that know how to take the energy, the spirit, away from the spiritually weak. Because those that are willing to externalize their power to another person.
But we have to see, this is where we have to touch it, because what they're doing, and this is so critical, and I think as nurses and as healers and as people in healthcare, this, you've brought us to such a brilliant place, Maureen, because when we look at Saddam Hussein, we look at Hitler and some of these entities, they know how to manipulate energy, intentionality. When you watch Hitler and you watch him, and he's speaking, and if you understand German and you're listening to this man, he uses the power of words. He uses the power of words to bypass and get into that limbic system and create energetic vibration and resonance with his intentionality. And isn't this critical for us to understand as recipients and as providers of health care? That if we walk in on a bad day, we got a bad day, right? Bad hair day, bad energy day, bad vibe day. We walk in, we're dealing with a patient. Isn't it interesting that we can affect the outcome by what it is that we are willing or not willing to carry over into our energetic field, into that room, into that treatment situation.
Exactly. And it's about establishing boundaries, learning. When I come into work at the hospital, I clear my space with aromatherapy. I put the music on with the frequency. I wrap the hospital before I get here, the whole entire hospital. I wrap all my coworkers in my office, my boss, my coworkers. I am going now starting to do isolation rounds to go visit each patient so that I can bring them the loving light. There's an article that just came out of JAMA this week talking about isolation patients that have different outcomes, worse outcomes than people who are not on precautions. And so my response to that article this week was to say, well, you know what? I'm going to go out and do something different. I'm going to bring them love overpowers fear. I'm going to go in and I'm going to shift the energy of those rooms. Well, that's the little bit that I can contribute to the whole. You know, granted, it still deals with the doctors and nurses, you know, getting into those rooms and taking care of them. But see what I mean? It's like when you live in a conscious state, you realize that everything you do at every moment has an intent to pass love. I'm not looking for any kind of outcome back that it's going to say, well, you know, Maureen went into the rooms and she decreased all these infections because she did this. It's that every moment I live in the light, no matter what I do, who I meet, I come from the light. That doesn't mean I'm not going to meet some dark people that I'm going to put very clear boundaries around me and say, you're not going to take any of my energy. And I do it by two ways. Detachment. I pull away if it's not where I should be or share my energy. So when I start to hear any gossip, I pull away. I don't want to be part of it.
This is a
wonderful
point.
I make an excuse to get away from, you know, that energy without hurting their feelings because I have to work with these people.
It's a wonderful point for us to break away because we have to take yet another
break. Okay.
The time has just gone blasting by.
You know, you and I could talk forever.
Oh, we could talk forever. And I know that the nurses out there are just in as much amazement as I am about, you know, you have such a command of this information. When we come back, Maureen, I want to hear you talk about it. I know Bill does, our producer who's listening, and I know the audience too. You've touched upon relationships. Let's kind of get down and dirty with energy and relationships, because so many of us, all of us, this is the crux of our life. Our life is about relationships. So, and you have so much information about how we can improve through intentionality, through vibration, how our interactions not only can heal us by the choices we make, but how we can begin to heal our relationships with each other in the choices that we make moment to moment. So we're going to take another break, and I hate missing a moment of you, but we're going to be back in 2 minutes, so nobody move. We'll be right back with Maureen Spencer.
Children who struggle to learn are like buried treasure. They have a wealth of intelligence locked inside. It just takes the right key to unlock it. A lot of these kids who struggle are smart. They just learn differently. Don't keep this treasure locked away. For free information, visit www.focusonlearning.org. Focusonlearning.org. Or call 1-888-478-MIND. A message from the Advertising Council and the CCLD.
Hey, ladies. You know, I was just thinking about the Founding Fathers.
Wow.
Well, gotta go.
Swoon.
Ronnie is so buff now.
So history buff.
Wow, but how?
LOC.gov, Library of Congress website. Whole American experience in film, photos, music, and fun-filled facts.
No wonder Ronnie's so history buff. Swoon.
Want to get really history buff? Visit LOC.gov, the Library of Congress website. A public service message brought to you by the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
Hi, I can't come to the phone right now because I'm abusing my children, not just verbally, but physically. I'll get back to you.
If only child abuse were this easy to recognize. If you even suspect abuse, call Child Help USA at 1-800-4-A-CHILD. We've helped millions of people help millions of children. All calls are anonymous and confidential. So call 1-800-422-4453. Child Help USA. Trust your instincts. A public service message brought to you by Child Help USA and the Ad Council.
Do you know what a child who can't read grows up to be? A statistic.
I know I should read to my son more, but I'm just too tired.
Well, how tired will you be of getting notes from school that your child can't keep up with the class? 2 out of 3 African-American fourth graders are struggling to read. Reading to your child now for just 15 minutes a day can make a lifetime of difference. To get Read and Rise, a free booklet on how you can help your child become a good reader, call 1-866-522-READ. A public service message brought to you by the National Urban League and the Ad Council.
We are back at Celebrating Whole Health, and if you are just tuning in, you are not listening to a sci-fi program. We have we've been talking about energetics and energy intentionality and healing and vibroacoustics and many wonderful pieces of science and reality that we as human beings live with on a day-to-day basis. We're talking to Maureen Spencer, who's just an outstanding and very sought-after speaker on these topics. Maureen, before the break, we were talking about having you come back and discuss intentionality, energetics, energy fields, psychic vampires, and the like with regard, in very practical terms, day-to-day interrelationships that we're all having both professionally and personally.
Okay, we talk about relationships. And relationships is that you are in relation to somebody, okay, that you have a vibration, a sympathetic resonance, as we talked about. How frequently are you pulsing? So if you have people that are very, very stressed, they have a particular frequency to them. Their beta waves are at a very, very high level, over 15. You can go actually up to 40 cycles per second. In the brain waves before things are going to start to kind of go haywire. So if you have a group of people that are very, very high tense, hypervigilant, hyper-aroused, and you are, you'll resonate with them. That's who you'll hang out with. That's who you go to lunch with. That's who you're going to like. If you're somebody who's not, and you're in a quiet state like I am, you know, because I do so much meditation and yoga, that's not where I'm going to feel comfortable. In fact, it would probably haywire my system. So I either tend to stay with people, if possible, that I can find in that kind of vibration, or I stay by myself, because by staying with myself, I'm staying with God. And I kind of just do my work, what I have to do, and disconnect from that, because I really can't sympathize with it, be in the same vibration. This is why couples break up, because they stopped seeing eye to eye. The frequency broke. It often happens with Reiki. When we train Reiki practitioners, I have to warn them, don't be surprised if you will start to find some of your relationships fall by the wayside, that maybe some of the friends you've had, even family members, even your significant other, that as you move into a higher vibration of living in God's light, if they're living in a more condensed, and I don't even want to call it the devil or the dark side because then it gives it energy. It's just energy. It is condensed energy, emotional energy that holds people back from being their free spirit. So if you stay in the light, as we call it, you stay vibrationally light by breathing, by moving, by dancing, by laughing, by kissing and hugging and loving and all that, that's a whole different way of living in this world. Same world, but two different ways that people are living in it. One, seeing it condensed, and then we kind of have a whole group of words that go along with condensed energy versus living in the light. It's a choice, and that's what I do as a healer, is to make people see the choice. It's an absolute choice that's an intent. I'm living in the light. That's how I live my world. And I try as much as possible to sort of illustrate to people that, you know, why do I look at my age with 5 children working basically two full-time jobs right now, still am happy as can be, look very, very young. Most people think I'm 35 years old. You know, I'm living very, I stand on my hands, I stand on my head, I do all kinds of things, I dance every weekend. That's because it's so freeing to live in the light, to be vibrationally free. It's a lot heavier to be depressed and to be energetically heavy and to be sad or angry or to be afraid, whatever. You know, those are the other kinds of frequencies. So that's what relationships are about. You just need to change them yourself. You need to free yourself from the frequencies. If it's not where you belong, get out.
What you shared with us earlier, though, and this is important, up until, what, 5-6 years ago, before you went through the experience of having that...
Oh, the Dreamweaver. Right.
Yes, before you went through the Dreamweaver experience, think about the difference in your energy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I used to have a lot of throat problems. I herniated a C5 disc. I used to get herpes infections all the time, cold sores all the time. I used to have respiratory bronchitis. I used to have so many problems with my throat chakra because all of the angry words and all the way my body was reacting to what was around me, the gossip, the anger, the criticism, the control that I would find in various hospitals that I worked at, that's where I was the weakest. It would affect me because I didn't speak my own truth. I found myself going down to their level, their vibration, to be in the clique, to get along with everybody. So I'd start gossiping. I would start listening. I would take all this in, and I was like a psychic sponge, and it affected me physically. My body manifested it. I have not been ill since I left healthcare in 96. Now I'm back in, and because I've shifted my whole personal vibration to a higher level, that will never touch me again. It's just so wonderful to be able to see it, to have this, we call it in yoga, pramana, direct perception, that I am awake. I can see it. And yet I had to experience the other in order to know this. So it's necessary. See, some of that pain and suffering is necessary in order to shift over to the light. So that's part of what I do with people that are ill or having problems. Say, you know, part of this, you won't know where this is going to take you, like the family last night. We don't know, you know, what this is all about, why this is happening to you, but, you know, it'll be clear, you know, it'll be clear down the road once you get through this grieving, but grieve, let yourself go through this to release this energy. And what some people do is they just don't want to deal with emotions, so they stuff them, which is what I used to do. I really pretty much stuffed all my feelings and emotions, and that's what manifested as my problems in my life or physical problems that I had. Well, I had a lot of relationship problems.
It's really important, though, for us to remember and be kind to ourselves by identifying that for most of us, for all of us, in one form or another, belonging, as Maslow pointed out, as Abraham Maslow pointed out so poignantly, belonging for human beings is one of our most primal and basic instincts, and that we will do a lot of things to belong, to be accepted, to be part of and integrated into the family, the place that we work, the crowd that we hang out with, our peers especially. You see this in kids in middle school and high school so clearly. So I think that one of the things we have to remember and be kind to ourselves about, I mean, you know, it's only been within the last few years for you even, and you are so aware and just so well informed and brilliant with this information. You know, there's such a difference between our awareness, our intellectual awareness, our knowledge of something, and the way that we're able to break through our humanity, our instincts, our need for approval, our need to belong. So if anybody out there is mea culpa-ing, we don't want you to leave thinking that, in fact, either your patients or yourself somehow have not made the best choices, because we're always, always, always in relationship, and isn't that the most imperative drive that we have energetically, yeah?
Right. That's what it's all about. We come down here to experience the duality, and the goal is to be experience that duality in God's light, in my opinion. That we come down and we, you know, the gravitational force of the earth and how it affects our matter and our energy, subtle energy, the more that you're gravitationally pulled down. That's why the Circles of Life product, and if anybody wants to talk to me about that, I can give them more information on it.
Maureen, yes, when we come back, we're going to take a one-minute break.
Okay.
When
all
we
right.
come back,
we'll talk
we want you to share all of your websites and your contact
Great.
Information
Thank
and
you.
Leave us with a final thought on what to remember as we're entering into those patient relationships every day. We'll be right back.
This is Sam Hornish Jr. As a champion IndyCar driver, I've had many proud moments, but one of the things I'm proudest of is being part of the Shriners. Shriners Hospitals offer kids with orthopedic problems or severe burns world-class medical care that's totally free of charge. And their centers of excellence combine progressive research and innovative teaching programs. There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. For more information, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
And we're back in our last few moments with Maureen Spencer. Maureen, before we close, and we only have a few minutes left, unfortunately, if you would be good enough to leave us your contact information, could you tell us how people can reach you and about your website?
Well, the best way to get me is by email. My email is findinn, F-I-N-D-I-N-N-N. There are three N's, at AOL.com. My website is findinginnerpeace.com. And the Circles of Life website is findinginnerpeace.circlesoflife.com. And you don't put a www, just go into the prompt and put that in, and that will introduce you to the energy product. My number at the center is 781-878-0115, if people want to get in touch with me by telephone.
Wonderful. And as we're coming into the last few minutes, you've shared a lot with us, and you are in the trenches every day, both in the hospital as well as in your private practice. So do you have some final thoughts for us about this great mystery, this great energetic mystery called life, with regard to how we can use the energy in relationships and in our life to experience our fullness?
Well, there's two things I'd like to end with. One is the first concept, what are called energetic principles. Just to remember that Einstein proved in 1905, he got a Nobel Prize in 1919, that everything is energy. And that energy is in matter at the speed of light squared. So if everything is energy, then all thought, feelings, sensations, or emotions are energy. Where thought goes, energy follows. And form follows your thought. So you just watch your thoughts. If you're thinking in a positive way, your body will react positively. And vice versa, if you're thinking in a more condensed way, your body will manifest those emotions and feelings. The second, as the Yoga Sutras say, the ancient sutras of Patanjali, in order for you to see your true self, you must cease the fluctuations of your mind. We're nothing more than particles and waves. So if you slow your mind down by meditating, and this is a great meditation technique, you close your eyes and you think about the next thought coming in. It is the most simplest, profound meditation technique there is, because what will happen is the person who's observing, waiting for the next thought to come in, is the higher self. And no thoughts will come in. You will absolutely be in a place of complete silence. So that's the easiest way to do meditation, is just think about the next thought coming in. And you will then experience God. You will be in the vibrational love. There's really nothing to say. When you say, who am I? You're no one. You're nothing. You're just being. Where am I going? Nowhere. You're just here. And what am I supposed to do? Nothing. You're supposed to be. So those are the three profound answers to the
left us with even more of a mystery than when we started.
<You know? laughs>
But it wouldn't be you, Maureen, if you didn't leave us with yet
another gem to reflect
on and to chew on. And I was so grateful and just so excited and delighted to have you back on the program again, and hope that, who knows, maybe down the road we'll have you back yet again to talk some more about all of the extraordinary work that you do. And congratulations to you on being able to integrate, as very few people have, really kind of in the bowel, mainstream medical, you know, you're right in the heart of the belly of the beast, as they say,
yeah.
And integrate this wonderful, new agey, holistic, whole health practice that you have. It's an extraordinary accomplishment. You're a very unique and rare person. We celebrate all that you've done, and thank you so much for being with us.